Christ, and know that he's with us. But turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 10 through 23. I won't be long because we're going to worship. We're going to go out singing and praising today. I'm looking forward to that because it's been a while since we've had that. And I'm thankful for the worship team to be able to do that. So we're in Philippians chapter 4. We've been going through our series, Faithfulness and Joy Through Difficulty. How can you have faithfulness and joy amongst hard times in our life? And so with that, let me ask you this. Have you ever helped a friend? Yeah, okay. Have you ever been someone that's been helped? Yeah, on that receiving end, right? Have you ever seen someone with little physical wealth be really happy? Maybe they were poor, but they're happy. Have you ever seen somebody that was super rich, affluent, and they were miserable? You were like, oh, I don't want to be around that person, right? So we have this really big dichotomy of being helped and helping, of being content and not content. Now, have you ever wondered how much wealth is in the United States? Anybody want to guess? What in the United States as of end of 2024, what would be the total assets of the United States if you could put it in the household wealth? If you had money, your house, your cars, you know, anything that'd be considered an asset, means you don't owe debt on it. It's you're free and clear of it. What do you think that value is in America? Just shout it out. What do you think's a guess? Shout it out, anybody? Huh? No, not that big. Yeah. Anyone want to guess? It's $164 trillion of household wealth. No, trillion. Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand Portuguese, Hannah. Yeah, sorry. You mean gross domestic? Yes. No, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. $164 trillion at the end of 2024 in America. Household wealth, total net income. Crazy to think about that. However, to have so much wealth, is our country super generous? It is, but we're also super greedy. And there's a lot of times we see needs, but we hold back. Now this isn't condemnation, but it's just looking at, even in a nation like ours that's super prosperous, there's still a lot of lack and need in our communities, and even in our churches there's lack and need. And this leads us into this last part of chapter 4 here. So turn with me to Philippians 4, 10 through 23. I want to talk about giving and receiving. This last part, Paul talks about, in essence, receiving gifts, helping people out with either physical helping them or giving them money. So look at verse 10 here. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God shall meet all your needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's pray here. Father, in these next few moments, God, before we get ready to worship, God, I pray that you would make your spirit come alive in our heart, mind, and soul. God, we say thank you that you sent your son that you gave to provide for our need, God, to give us a hope and a future, God, to give us eternal life and to know you, God, and to have your ever-dwelling presence in us. And God, we just say thank you for sending Jesus the Son. And we just pray that your word would illuminate and go forth here today, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. So let me just put this on the screen for you. If we had to break down this last little portion of Philippians, what is it all about? It's not really hard, but sometimes it is hard to live out. It's this. There was friends and there was the church. They were sharing in the needs of each other. Paul had relationships with the Philippian believers, the church, the local church, and they had friendships and they were sharing each other's needs. Second of all, Paul was he was being content with what provisions he had been given. In this portion right here, you don't say Paul saying, "Hey, you gave me a gift, but boy, you guys sure lacked. I mean, you gave me a fish, but boy, I needed a steak. I needed cheesy mashed potatoes. You know, I needed some chocolate cake with that. Boy, you guys were horrible." No, Paul was saying, "Hey, you provided for me. Thank you, but I'm very content." Next up, he says, "A willingness to share even when you have little to offer." In here, Paul reminds him, "Hey, you couldn't provide me everything. You couldn't maybe help me here, but you helped me there. Yeah, you helped me here, but maybe it wasn't everything I needed, but it was enough to get me going to the next step." And he was highlighting how the church was willing to share even when they had little. Next up, there was the gratefulness for receiving a gift. Did you hear the gratefulness in the letter there? There was an attitude of, I hate to use a cliche, there was an attitude of gratitude. You ever heard that old one? Right? There was gratitude there for Paul. And then lastly, the advancement of the gospel through sacrifice. If I had to boil this down, if we had to just truncate it, this is the takeaway I would offer, humbly submit to you. This is the takeaway, that we provide for one another in this church. We're content with what we've been given. We have a willingness to share, even when we have a little bit to share. We're willing to, "Hey, you can have this, I'll share with you." And that we receive things with gratefulness, and that we always keep the center of everything. The reason we give, the reason we receive, is so that the gospel is advanced, and it's advanced through sacrifice. So let's break down a few things here just real quick. Look at verse 11 with me here. Look at verse 11. He says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Paul here in these last few verses, he uses a rhetoric style in the ancient culture of more of a Stoic rhetoric style. There was the Stoics and there was the Cynics, or the Aristotle house of philosophy, excuse me. And the Stoics were content with having a lot or having a little, but in all things you needed to be content and be grateful and be able to endure things. The Cynics were the extremists. They were like, "Oh, you need to deny everything, not get help, and you actually should seek out hardships to really prove your manhood or womanhood," all that. But Paul here, he's making an argument here, saying that "I'm in need, but I'm okay. I'm in need, but I am content." He's making this argument of saying whatever was coming into his life, he was okay with. In 11 and 12, verse 11 and 12, we see this word twice. He uses, "I am content." He says, "I have learned to be content, and I have learned the secret of being content." How many of you today are content? Content. Yeah, some of us, yeah. Yeah, yeah, some of us, yeah. How many young people are you content right now? Right? You want to grow. Andrew's raising his hand, yeah. Right? But I remember when we're younger, a lot of times, right, we want to get married. We want to get a job, right? We want to go explore the world. We want to, what's out there? I want to get that new shoe or that new shirt. You know, we have this drive for things, which are not wrong, but sometimes those things are never going to satisfy our content in our life. But Paul here, in the beginning, he says, "I am content." And I would submit to you today, church, we need to live in this contentness. We have a nation that has $164 trillion of household net worth. But is our nation content? No. Our nation is not content. We want this or that, power, this and that, all these different things. Some things are not bad, but we take those things that may be good and try to put them in a place where only God can feel, and thus our greediness just keeps ravaging and keep going and going. Look at verse 13 here. He says here in verse 13, he goes, Paul says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Now, this right here sometimes has been very misquoted, or you see it on athletes or on, you know, college football. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Well, what we call that, that's called misquoting or out of context scripture. Now, can God help us do everything? Yes. The answer is yes. But when we look at this verse, what is Paul talking about? Paul isn't talking about, "Hey, you have a dream, I'm going to be an astronaut, and boy, with God, I can do all things." No, Paul is saying whatever whatever I've been encountering or whatever has been encountering me, I can be content in that, and God gives me the strength to get through that. And he's helping here remind the young church that verse 13 is not about some great goal. It's not about you deciding, "I'm going to get married and get this education and I'm going to become this." That, it's all good. It's all good. But Paul's not talking about this hierarchy of moving up the ladder. He's talking about an inner life issue. He's talking about down in your soul, what satisfies you? What satisfies you? Is it Jesus, or is it the accomplishment to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing? Or when everything's stripped away, If you lost your retirement, you lost your family, your home, your car, could you say, man, you know what? Verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Could you say that? Can you say that realistically in your life? It's not about you need more, or you've been robbed, or you're a victim, or that. Paul is reminding them that in everything, he was content because God gave him the strength to endure all things and strengthen him. Let's jump down here real quickly here. Look at verse 18. Paul says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. How amazing it is to receive a gift at the right time. How many of you have received a gift, a paycheck, a bonus? Someone gave you a car, or wait, whatever it is, it gave you new foot, whatever it is, someone gave you something, and you were like, oh, I needed that right then and there at that moment. Paul is being thankful, reminding the church, thank you at the right time. You listened to the Spirit, you gave, and boy, it blessed me at this time. Now, Paul, if you don't remember, Paul is in prison. He writes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians from his prison in Rome under Nero. So think about this. He's writing all this in a prison cell. And if you go online, you can Google Paul's prison cell in Rome, and there's some prisons they have found from that era, and these prisons are not like what we have. It's not the new Woodbury, you know, County Law Enforcement Center. This is a dark hole underneath two or three levels down, and if you don't have friends to take care of you, then you just rot away. This is Paul. He's writing this letter, so think about that. He is writing all this from a prison cell in chains. Now, he had some freedom, but he was in chains under guard by the Praetorian Guard, and he writes this. Yet in America, we have $164 trillion of net worth, and we can be not content. Yet we have a fellow brother in Christ in prison writing this. That's very convicting to me, church, that he's writing this. But he writes all this, and he says, thank you for the gifts that I received at the right time. Now look at Philippians 2 here. I'll be on your screen, but you can turn that to your Bible. Philippians 2, 3 through 11, Paul early reminds them, and he shows him the gifts that he received all reflect the heart of God our Father. And I'm going to tie this into the gospel because it is amazing to receive a physical gift, right? To receive a paycheck, a money, a gift, a new shirt, or a pair of shoes you wanted. But how much more have we been given Jesus as the greatest gift? At the right time, the Father sent the Son to redeem us. And look at Philippians 2, 3 through 11 here. It says, this is Paul writing, talking about Jesus. He goes on to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. So Paul here writes, and he says, imitate who Jesus, imitate the Father. The Father sent the Son, Jesus gave of himself and became a servant and gave the greatest gift. He gave of his life. And though in this last few verses, Paul is thanking the church for their physical gifts, whether it could have been some food or maybe some paper to write on, or maybe it was, you know, a cloak or a shirt. It was something. We don't know. Paul was saying, thank you for that. But I want to highlight, once again, in this greater verse, I would say part in verse 19, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now Paul is saying, yes, God can meet your physical needs. But what's the greater picture Paul is writing through all his works? Is that in Jesus, there's riches for the inner life. There's riches for our mind, for our families. There's riches that are beyond anything that this earthly world can give us in money or houses or physical possessions. And Paul's reminding them early on in his letter that God sent the Son, and Jesus demonstrated to us what it was like to give to others, to give everything. And how often, church, we have been given so much. If I look around the room today, we have, in this room, we are super rich. We are super provided for. We have riches beyond half of our world would die for to get to this nation. But God is challenging his church today, just like he did back then, to give generously. to love lavishly, to give of ourselves, to be content. And when we think we have little, we need to remember that Jesus gave all. And all he asks us is to give and be obedient to the Holy Spirit and to help those in need, especially those first within the household of faith, and then go outward and to help those in need. The promise in verse 19 is this, that God is faithful to provide. He provided Jesus so we can always trust in his provision for ourselves, our vocations, our families, our physical body for healing, for a home, a car, a food, provision. God the Father is faithful. And he will meet all of our needs according to his provision in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't just meet the physical. He meets the spiritual, the social, the inward parts of the soul where no one's going. He meets all of our needs. So whatever you're needing today, if you feel like, oh, I can't be content, I would submit to you today, Jesus is your answer for contentment. We know this is not new. It's not like, oh, this is a new teaching, Pastor Dan. But do we need to be reminded of that today? Are you finding your content in him? And so my two questions here, as the worship team, go ahead and come up, worship team. We're going to get ready here to worship. My two questions for us is this, to take away is this. Do you need to receive the gift of eternal life today in Jesus? Maybe you're here today, and you know Jesus, you're showing up. You know, we have other people that are gone here today, but maybe you need here today. You need to receive the gift of eternal life in Jesus today. And then my second question is this, church. Who can you help today with the gifts that God has entrusted you with? God has given each of you gifts today. What can you do with those gifts? Who can you help with those gifts? Some of you might think, I've got a lot or I've got a little, but it doesn't matter. We can help, and God has given you things to help his body grow. And so with that, let's pray as we get ready to worship and go out singing God's praises of thankfulness for what he's provided for us. Let's pray, church. Father, we just say thank you today that, God, you have provided your son to give us a hope and a future. God, we say thank you for everything you've given us. God, thank you for our families, our spouses, our kids. God, thank you for jobs, for, God, having a bank account. God, thank you for having clothes, food. God, we praise you, God. We say thank you for all your provision, God. You've watched over all of our lives. God, we say thank you, Jesus. God, but God, I just pray today that, God, we would be content with the son. And God, I pray that we would go out, God, and generously give, generously serve others, God. Even those that don't deserve it. But God, we pray that we would go out and serve and give of our time, talent, and treasure to honor the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. So God, we pray today as we worship, God, we pray that we'd be grateful and we would see you as our provider, as our healer, as our Lord, Savior, and Master. And God, we just say thank you for what you're doing here today. In your name we pray. Amen.